Adam.
Hey, man. What's going on? How's things over there in Indy?
I mean, it's pretty chill here right now. How are things for you?
Not so chill. Definitely not so chill.
You've had an experience, and you're not even there yet.
No, we left like at 9 last night, and made it about three and a half hours through southern Illinois, heading towards New Orleans, and then lost a trailer hub, fixed it on like a super random unoccupied road, and then got back on the highway, and like 3 minutes later noticed that we had another bad trailer hub and it was on fire. Limped to an exit, like with lights, and super random. Like we were following Chris, who had media team, and Kyle from SimTV in the van, but they were up ahead enough. They just went to the gas station. We were limping on the side of the road, and then a minivan like flies over to the right, throws the hazards on, and like stops in front of us. And I'm like, "What's this jerk doing?" And we just start creeping and creeping. I drive around him. It's super empty highway in the middle of the night. Drive around him, keep going, and then I get a phone call, and it's Jason Shields, timing scoring Jason.
It was Jason in the minivan.
Yeah, keep in mind, it's like 2 a.m. So Jason spotted us, and his wife was driving, and he said, pull over. And I'm like, what is this jerk doing? I mean, he tried to call me like 3 times, but I'm like busy, like being stressed out about everything.
Yeah, right.
But then I realized it was him. So we got to the exit, and we started tearing it apart. And that one had literally been on fire. We like threw a couple of gallons of water at it. Like the brake was on fire, and all the grease was on fire. And
obviously it was like flammable stuff that's on fire. When the fire, when everything cools off, what kind of damage did you see?
Nothing much. Like everything that's like the brake shoes just were like rattling around in the drum. Like they melted off the backing plates. But I don't really care about the brake shoes. I want the wheel bearing to do things. So right now there's no brake on that one. I just gutted it. We had two brand new hubs in a box because, you can never have too many trailer parts. So the first one went on real well. Those things have like an inner race on the bearing, and the first one actually came right off, and the second one was like straight up, like welded onto the spindle. So we probably spent the better part of an hour beating it off. And then we had to like sand the spindle because it had gouges in it now. And, it sucked. And then we slept for like an hour at a Walmart, and now we've been driving all day, and we're about 3 hours from the track. So hopefully the next 3 hours are boring.
So, when I think about wheel bearings, I know like old school, you kind of like press on those bearings or whatever. Does anyone make a more modern cartridge style thing that you could just like undo some bolts and then put a new one in?
I think that does exist, but it's like, it just like isn't the standard in most trailer world. Like trailer bearings are actually pretty easy to do. It's like one big nut with like a retainer clip or a cotter pin. You either bend the retainer clip out of the way, or you like pull the cotter pin out, and then you unback off this like inch and a half nut, and it's not tight. But then it pushes it to like the procedure is to tighten it, and then you back it off like a quarter turn or a tenth of a turn. So it's not tight. Like you can get that nut off pretty easy. And then the whole thing just pulls off. That's the hub. And if it's a drum assembly one, it's got like the drum assembly is attached to the spindle, and like the whole, the actual drum itself comes off because it's part of the hub. But, getting that inner race off of the spindle, because the inside of the inner wheel bearing, like sometimes is not super tight and sometimes is super tight. So, getting that inner race off can be a nightmare if you don't have like a flap wheel or a cutoff wheel. So next time I'm going to have a flap wheel with, and I can just, melt it and then break it in half, and, off it comes. But yeah, the moral of the story is I want to get a trailer with giant, giant axles. So that's going to be the next purchase. And I think I have the one picked out, and it's from a buddy of ours. So,
oh yeah.
Bowie, you remember Bowie?
I remember
from Atlanta, Bowie Gray. He's got, it's a 28 foot, older Featherlite aluminum box trailer, and he's got 8 lug axles, which should be 7,500 or 7,000 pound axles. So
sick.
That'll probably be my next trailer. So whenever he sells his RX-8, which I think is for sale, a really, really nice, like, built for World Challenge RX-8 that was converted to SCCA E production. I think he drove it at Indy Runoffs. That's for sale. And whenever he sells it, I think I'm going to buy his trailer. So I'm going to sell this one. This one will have all brand new wheel bearings on it when I get home, too. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to NOLA right now, and NOLA had a hurricane. And right now the stress is that all the power trucks that are fixing, like, most of New Orleans, because, like, it was the largest power outage, like, ever, I guess.
Okay.
They're all, like, stationed at NOLA Motorsports Park. Like, that's where they go home at night. And there's a ton of equipment in the main paddock. And I feel like it's going to be gingering all over again.
Where the paddock is full? Paddock.
Yeah, with not enough paddock space. So
you'll just have to – you'll have to be, like – if you have a black Jeep, I hate you.
Yeah, if you have a white Entergy power truck, wait, there's 600 of you.
Dang it.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. We'll see how stressful this is. We'll be there in a few hours and we'll figure it out. So. Yeah.
I'm like super, super bummed that I can't be there, but I move in a week and we still got a decent amount of packing to do. So I'm glad I didn't make the trip.
Yeah, it probably would have been a bad idea. You would have been pretty stressed. So.
And Ashley might have killed me.
Yeah, my wife isn't super pleased. She's got a busy week right now. She's doing parent-teacher conferences yesterday and today, and Emma's got a bunch of stuff. But we're not moving, so I got that going for me. You're moving. You should probably move.
Yeah, yeah.
You said the new house is like 7 minutes from the old house?
Yep, pretty much. So
that's not too bad.
The moving company is like, you know, you probably heard of them. It's 2 men in a truck. In our situation, we have 4 men and 2 trucks.
Okay.
But we're moving a decent amount of stuff ourselves, like stuff that would be sucky to pack, like the big TV or, you know, the clothes and stuff like that. We're not doing a cross-country move, so like making trips in the van is pretty quick. But
yeah.
We close on this house Friday at 9, and then we close on our new house at 10:30 on Friday, and we are expected to be vacated of the premises here like 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. So like,
okay, so you get a night, but
we get 1 night, which means that like we're probably going to make 100 trips to and from just like packing the van full.
Right.
But
yeah, that's kind of stressful, but you can do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's one overnight, right? It's not that big a deal.
Right.
So,
I'm going to pull an all-nighter, moving all the dog beds and the power tools and
yeah, pretty
all
much.
The stuff. He didn't feel like having somebody move. Basically the movers are just taking big stuff, right?
Yeah. It's like the stuff I wouldn't want to kill myself trying to move, like couches and desks and dressers and beds and all that stuff. They're moving that.
How does that work when you pay a mover? Do you say, all right, I need this to go in that room and this to go in that room, and they just put it in the room?
Pretty much.
Okay.
This company they'll do anything you want. They will pack up your shit. They will unpack your shit. You just pay them by the 15-minute block. And this is the first move that I've had in a while where like I'm paying for service. And so like,
oh yeah, cause you had a few moves that were paid for by the company, right?
Yeah. Which, was like both awesome and terrible, because when you're paying to move your own stuff, you really have to decide if it's important enough to keep. And the last two moves, I just kept a bunch of stuff. And so I've been like every week throwing out as much stuff and trash and donating to Goodwill as I possibly can.
And, that's kind of nice. A good purge.
Yeah. I want to live the like Colin Chapman of lifestyles, you know, like just simplify and add lightness.
Yeah. I've been kind of on that path, getting rid of like cars and stuff I'm not going to use ever. But my life at one point, it was like 5 cars, an RV, 4 trailers, a building, my house, you know, like it got a little crazy.
What about the, I mean, I know that you moved the lift, but the garage space over by your dad's place, is that still like a mechanics tool chest burst open and, There's just stuff everywhere.
No, well, right now it's a little bit of a in-process moving mess, but we're going to be slowly facing our construction company out of that as we downsize. So,
hey guys, that side door locked.
The side door might be blowing open. I thought I heard something.
Who's in the RV?
We've got Cone, Grant, and Matt DeRoos in the RV.
Hey, buddies.
Yeah, so hanging out in the RV for the last, I don't know, 15 hours. So I couldn't sleep last night. We pulled into a Walmart at like 3:30 or 4, and because we thought it's only going to be dark for another 2 hours, so we might as well sleep right now. And then I laid awake for an hour because stress wasn't affecting my brain. But
yeah,
we'll get there and sort out things for an hour or two, and then it'll be okay.
So I've largely been disconnected from this event. Ashley's texting. I've largely been disconnected from this event. I've heard about Grid Life Double Drift, but I don't know that we've ever talked about it on the show. What do you know?
I don't think so either. Well, it's sort of like a beta test for the competition. We've never done a drift competition before. And instead of two drivers going out and like doing tandem, but like competing against each other, it's going to be two drivers who are on a team going out and doing whatever they want to do. And they're competing against other drivers that aren't running at the same time. So it'll be judged and it should be fun. And it's a non-pro competition, and it's a lower speed track, so it's not a full cage requirement.
It's going to be very graceful.
The car track has a ridiculous amount of configurations. If you Google NOLA Motorsports Park and look at the car track, it's got like 89 configurations or something like that. And it's a really big car track, but so it'd be kind of a choose your own adventure as far as like where they want to go and how they want to meet up. And I think really, the only limit is 45 to 60 seconds or 60 to 90 seconds. I can't remember. But
that's a lot of drift.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go much longer than that. You'll burn your tires out. But
so
it should be fun. We'll see where it goes.
Last weekend was the first weekend that I have ever watched an FD event. And I only watched part of it. But I thought their stream was pretty cool. But I was surprised, and maybe this is track to track, but I was surprised with how short the individual run was. It was like,
yeah, they're like 10 or 12 seconds.
Yeah, it's super, super short.
Yeah, that one, it seemed to be sort of normal. Like, that's kind of what they are. They're like 15. I don't think I've ever seen an FD run more than 20 seconds. They're pretty quick.
That's crazy.
So this will be a little bit of a longer competition, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Maybe we made it too long. We're not sure. But I think we've got 15 teams competing, maybe. I can't remember. It's a bunch, so. Should be fun.
That's like
that'll be live streamed on Grid Life or grid.life/live, and as will GLTC, which has like 20. If everybody shows up, it's going to be like 24 competitors, I think. And then we've got about a 50 or 55 car time attack field. So
that's solid for a first year.
Yeah,
especially this late in the year.
900 miles away from our office, like it's a third of the way across the country. You know?
Though I will say that going to New Orleans during like hurricane times, it's probably not the best time of year, but like
hurricane season like went extra long. It's normally the hurricane season ended like 3 weeks ago, but they had one last Wednesday. So
it's a big bummer.
Yeah. And it was a pretty good one too. I guess it really, really blew out a lot of lines. So the track is fine. Track didn't have power as of Saturday, but they had a ton of power trucks, and they figured the power trucks were going to fix the power because all the guys wanted to have power. I think they the ones that are local, they like basically are based out of the track, and they eat I think two times a day there and stuff like that. So
interesting.
Yeah, but I have no idea what to expect of this paddock other than it's huge. So hopefully there's still some room. But it's a real big facility, and some of the people that have dropped off trucks and stuff and trailers already have been posting in group threads about how like nice the facility looks and how it's super pretty. So I'm excited to go. I haven't been there. Chris has been there. He flew out for a site visit a couple weeks ago, but I've never been.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
Yep.
I know that DeRoos has driven there with Optima before.
Yeah, he said it's really nice. So Yeah, and now we're in dead stop traffic in Jackson, Mississippi. So that's cool.
We got that going for us. So over the last weekend, Optima happened, and so did the $25,000 Optima Autocross.
When did they announce that? It's pretty. That was like they didn't announce that Autocross too far ahead of time. It was like only like a month or two, wasn't it?
I think so. So the I read Swenson's like event post about it, and he heard about it at the last Grid Life, which was what, the beginning of October.
Oh, at Midwest, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, that was. I think that might have actually been kind of when they announced it.
Man.
I think that's when I heard about it, too.
So if you guys, if listeners have been under a rock for the last 6 weeks, Optima announced a 200 treadwear, almost no rules, autocross that happened at, what did they call it? What was the name of the...
I think it was High Performance Expo or something like that. Yeah, that's what it was.
High Performance Expo at COTA, along with the Optima Ultima Street Car that was there on Monday and Tuesday. So,
They were there on Monday and Tuesday, huh?
Yeah. So they had been there for like a while, right? I think it was like load in was Saturday, and then they did Autocross Sunday, and then Optima Monday and Tuesday, I think.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like the course was pretty short. I think the fastest run Swenson put down 31 or something, 35. 35. Or something.
Yep.
And I guess 30, the course 34. Was bumpy. And,
I think it was a pretty good representation of like the seriously, seriously fast drivers driving fast cars.
Like autocross. no limits cars, too.
Because like, I have complete respect for anyone who wins an SCCA Nationals in autocross, right? Like every class is highly contested, but, all of the rule sets are kind of built in such a way that like, you know, your car might be fast for a class, but it might not necessarily be just like objectively fast, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right?
It might be a stock, naturally aspirated new Mini Cooper on Hoosiers, you know?
But this class, I mean, they were 200 treadwear, but it was like, 600 to 800 horsepower cars competing for $25,000.
Half of them had sequential trans and Viper ACR tires. So,
but congrats to our boy, Jeremy Swenson. I was cheering for both him and Sean. It kind of sucks that they both couldn't win because Sean did have the fastest run of the day, but hit a cone. So.
Yeah, and he was P2, right, Sean Carbsbach?
Yeah, he was leading all day. Swenson got it like at the end.
Wasn't it like last run when Swenson got it?
It could have been, yeah.
So crazy. Yeah, so far Swenson has won King of the Mountain the first year and now this. So he's had a pretty good couple of years.
He's pretty good at
motorcycle just went by us with a dog on the back. That was interesting. Yeah.
So, I guess people are now kind of getting back into the winter. I know that Moss sent me a video of his car being actuated through the gears. I don't think it was rolling yet, but like he showed me videos of the computer saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So
he's got the BMW trans in, huh?
That's pretty cool.
I'm curious to see how much it changes things. We'll see.
I mean, I'll be honest. I know that there's some people with some really strong opinions about this, but like,
I know there's at least one person.
yeah, that's true. And his name rhymes with Shoey.
Yeah.
But like, Moss is fast. But objectively at the moment, I don't think that his car was, like, he won the season, and I think that was a testament to like going to all the events and also having a car that was pretty sorted the whole time. But right. Like he didn't straight up win all the events, right?
No, he was sorted when other people were struggling, and that was kind of that was how he won several events. But did he only win PPIR? I'm not even sure.
And then
he tied at spring opener.
Yep. I think that might be true.
Points wise,
I think Krebsbach won.
He won it. He won last October, the first points round of the season. Against him and Dewey had that crazy battle.
Yeah, but I think they both got 100 or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was just always right there. Like, it wasn't a Dominator car. But we'll see. We'll see where the big changes come. You know. So.
But I mean, I fully expect. I don't know this, but I'm pretty sure that both Sean and Jackie are going to Buttonwillow. And
yeah, I think they are. I know Jackie is.
I kind of fully expect those cars, if they do come back, to be insanely fast next year.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about how ridiculously fast Sean has gotten over the year. Like, so, literally in the past year.
It's kind of nutty. Like, and he does it in a way that's so, I don't know, much like an alien. I mean, we know some aliens, right? Like, it's a, oh, I only drove 3 laps this weekend, but one of them was the new record.
Right, right.
But
yeah, that's kind of been him a bunch of times. So.
But I don't know about the class. I would be excited to see Paul Curley drop to street mod, because I think Ferris is kind of like drop the mic, so to speak, on track mod. If that's what you're, if that's your game, you're going to have to go hard.
Yeah.
And street mod is a class that would accommodate a lot of those Ultimate Street Car builds that may not have sequentials.
Right, right.
So, I mean, Ferris has shown that you can go insanely fast in a Corvette on 285s. So
crazy.
I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see who shows up for what. But we've got a decent field this weekend. I haven't actually broken it down in classes, but we'll. I know it's going to be definitely a contested street mod weekend, sure.
So, who is running timing and scoring this weekend? Is it Kevin and Jason?
Yeah, Kevin and Jason are doing it, and we've got about half. We got the main grid crew. Judson's coming down. We've got Renee. We don't have Scott, but we've got Renee, so I have to be Scott. We've got 3 GLTC compy bells. And it's going to be three tracks at the same time with a skid pad and the kart track. It's going to be real, real complicated.
It sounds, I mean, it's a little bit different, but it sounds like the thing that we had envisioned with, the Willow Springs tracks, where you have like 3 main tracks doing stuff all at the same time.
Yeah. That's kind of what it's going to be. At least it'll all be on like the same plane, so you can see it all, unlike Willow Springs, where you're like, hey, there's more tracks here, where are they at? I don't know. I guess it's pretty spread out, though, so I'll know more in a couple hours.
So
when are you gonna put this out? Are you gonna put this out
tomorrow? Yeah.
Okay.
So I had said that I would also try and do a show over the weekend with Andrew, just like calling in.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of getting a newbie's GLTC rookie GLTC experience.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So,
stay lucky.
Yeah, he's bringing out. It should be pretty solidly like mid to upper pack BMW. His power to weight's gonna be right there. He's gonna be on street tires. He knows the car real well. He's obviously a good driver. I would anticipate he might be a squeaker for the podium too. So.
That'd be a heck of a start for sure.
Yeah, there's gonna be some of the heavy hitters though. All 3 of the season points podium from last year is gonna be there. So.
Oh yeah.
Katil and Lichty and Emil are all gonna be there. I think Rob Manicherry, Luke and Eric, Luke McGrew, Eric Meadows. We're gonna have like a lot of the perennial
like core group.
Top teners that are gonna be there. So it's gonna definitely be like no slouch competition.
Awesome. I think Justin and Tiffany are out until next year. I think the cars are parked.
Yeah. Tom O'Gorman's bringing his car though. We got a few Texas cars coming, people that we don't know. But yeah, should be fun. I'm sad I didn't bring my car, but I'm glad I didn't bring my car at the same time. But,
too much stuff. So what's all in the trailer?
Just event stuff. And it's like, It's waist deep the entire length of the trailer with bins and merch and pit bikes and all the things that you'd expect, you know?
Yeah, word.
That'll be busy. Unloading it tonight in the dark will be fun.
It wouldn't be a grid life if it wasn't last minute, right?
Yeah. I was hoping to be here about 3 hours ago, but oh well.
Just like that one time we arrived late to Coda?
Yeah, we literally arrived... what, like 11 o'clock that night? 10 o'clock or
waiting
something.
Waiting for stuff to happen. We're into this for about 25 minutes. I expect you got some more driving to do. And if you're available by phone this weekend, I may give you a call.
Yeah, and I've got my gear. We're going to be doing a few shows here, hopefully.
Yeah.
In between, looking over the trailer at night. And I've also got an oil leak now on the RV that I'm chasing down. So that's going to be fun. I got to figure that out. Oh, I can tell the story later next time we talk about the saga of starting up a P-pump Cummins after you've ran it out of fuel because you changed the fuel filter. So that was 3 or 4 hours of my Tuesday. So anyway.
Yeah.
Right, well, go do family things. Pack up all your undies.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon, man.
See you, buddy.
I'll see you, man.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabay, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough, and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes, and come and find us in the pits at a grid line to say hello.